uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight. Another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. Going to be getting into what news we have to get into. I know everything is focused in on the the bread and circuses of the staged occupations of Wall Street. So, and I don't know what's the deal with the one that's going on tomorrow. I've heard some about, is that some Jones specific thing or some teabagger thing or Patriot thing? What's going on with that? So no, the majority of the events today. And then I heard there's another different one or a separate group doing a separate one tomorrow. And that's when Jonesy is going to be here in Dallas, for some separate thing. I don't know. I thought it was, the occupation thing was it starts and then, you know, it goes on indefinitely or whatever. I didn't know they were having, you know, separate days of this or whatever. But hey, you know, like I said, the bounty still stands. The bounty still stands. Anybody that wants to go down there and, you know, ask Jonesy the hard questions about the CMP or John Birch Society or Jesuits or anything else, you can, or ask him, you know, or better yet, ask him why Ron Paul was quoted as saying that the, well, I've got the story right here. Ron Paul calls Occupy Wall Street a legitimate effort. Seems a very interesting play here on Jonesy's part. But again, I think he has knowledge of something. He's trying to make sure he distances his operation from his operation as much as he can, but he's going to go down to Dallas at 6 o'clock, after everybody's cleared out of the building already, of course. Funny the timing of that. Yeah, wait till everybody's out of the building there, Jonesy. Why don't you? I knew something was wonky was going on with my sound. Sorry about that. I think we're getting it back to normal here. Yeah. Master volume on the mixer got pulled all the way up, so it was coming in a little hot. I noticed that. Heard the playback earlier on the stream, and it sounds like it's coming a little hot and a little static. To there we go, much better tone there. Sometimes stuff gets pushed around in here, you know, like multitasking stuff. But I found that was a very interesting tie in there. You know that Jonesy says it's not a legitimate thing, which I don't think it is either. But he's got a different reason than I do, because his reason is to they're trying to create the ultimate divide and conquer out of these issues, so that they can have one group of alleged people who have, you know, problems with what the government does, and then another group over here who has problems with it. So they're trying to make this thing where, okay, we have the people who are occupying Wall Street, but then, you know, everybody's saying, well, how come nobody's saying anything about the Federal Reserve? That's where this idea sort of came from and originated with. It was this idea of, you know, the Federal Reserve being the issue, and that's sort of where the teabaggers and the Alex Jones types, that's sort of the slant they come from. So, it just seemed very interesting to me that they were playing this out like this, but I think that's the reason they're going to do it. They want to create these two different issues and then pit the one side, the, you know, sort of the Occupy the Feds, which is sort of the left. I mean, some of this stuff that I heard for their demands and the things that they want that the Occupy, it sounds, I mean, I'm sorry, it's stuff, it just, you're a damn fool if you think this stuff doesn't read just straight out of the Communist Manifesto. It does. All this stuff about, you know, equal wages and all this stuff like that. It's pretty interesting, though. It's funny that there's all so many sides of this operation. It's kind of weird to wrap your mind around. You've got this group, the Occupy Wall Street group, and they're a controlled group, MoveOn.org, George Soros, et cetera, et cetera. And then you've got Alex Jones, who's obviously controlled by the Jesuits and the John Birch Society and the right wing and the priest class and the whole thing, Bronfen banking empire. You've got that, and so you've got people over here that believe everything Alex Jones say, and then you've got people over here who believe everything that, you know, the Occupy Wall Street people say. And then Jones comes out and starts spreading disinfo about the operation of the Occupy the Fed people. Now, see, that's where it gets difficult. Because you've got one group that's an op, one person that's an op, and then the op is spreading disinfo about the other group that's also an op. That's how they create all this divide and conquer. Excuse me. That's how they create all this divide and conquer. That's how they create all of this derision and all this infighting and all this stuff. That's a classic textbook example of how they do it. Let me give you an example. Jonesy was reporting and saying, I think today or yesterday, that the Occupy Wall Street people want to have a $20 minimum wage and adopt a $20 minimum wage across the board for all businesses in the United States. And, yeah, you hear that. It's so sensational. You're like, I mean, that doesn't really sound like that would be a good idea. But then you go and look at their, and I've got it right here, specific demand and action list for Washington, D.C. from OccupyWallStreet.org. And it doesn't say anything about that anywhere in here. Now, that doesn't make me defend this group and not say that they're not an op, because I believe they are. But what I'm saying is, think about that. It doesn't say that anywhere in here. Yet Jonesy is saying that it is. And yet, he's got Luke Radowski. He waited to tell Luke and We Are Change, who, you know, listen to every word he says and do absolutely everything that he says to the letter. Because if they don't, then he threatens to shut them down and not support them and withdraw his support from them publicly for all chapters across the board if they don't do what he wants. Oh, how do I know that? Well, I know that, and Lee Iovino knows that, because there was a lot of people out there inside We Are Change groups who started posting my work, and I'm talking about stuff that wasn't even saying anything negative against Jones, on We Are Change groups' websites, and they started getting a lot of views, and Alex Jones told Luke Radowski that if he did not make this chapter of We Are Change take down my videos and all my stuff and refuse to post anything associated with me, that he would withdraw his support for We Are Change nationwide, worldwide, altogether. And what did they do? Well, they sure as fuck aren't going to let their cash cow go just to get some contrary information out. Hell no. You don't think this is about info for these people, do you? No, of course not. No, it's making sure that their cash cow stays in place. And by staying in place with the cash cow, Jonesy thereby buys their servitude. But I guess when Luke Radowski and crew made the decision to go, Jones was still saying, Fox, it's a good thing. Because that's what he was saying at first. then he flipped the script, turned tail, and said, no, it's Soros funded garbage and don't get involved with it. This is after Radowski, who his lapdog at his every beck and call, does what he says without reproach, goes and gets pepper sprayed and beat down. Well, you know, is he, let me ask you this. Does he make you stay in the, in a tent when you go to his house, Luke? Or does he let, does, or he won't even, he won't let you, or does he make you stay in the servant's quarters? He has a live-in servant, live-in nanny. He has a servant's quarters, you know, on the side of the house and stuff. That's how much money Jones has. But he made Jason Burmes sleep in a tent for like a month when he first moved to Austin and worked for Jones. God damn. Man, what a sick motherfucker right there. That tells you everything you need to know about Jones. He's got this $1.5 million mansion in a gated community with a fucking servant's quarters and a live-in nanny, but he's got to make Burmes stay in a tent in the backyard with the fucking guard dogs. That's brutal, man. That's that's fucking brutal. Right, that's the whole operation here that they're running is they're getting, because, you know, a lot of people in the Truth and Patriot movement think that these Occupy the Wall Street thing are a good thing. So that's causing a division because you've got other people, you know, that normally agree with each other on issues who are now becoming divided over this issue of the Occupy Wall Street and whether it's a legitimate movement or whether it isn't. And so you've got people who are researchers who are looking at this and saying, no, this is not legit. This is straight up an operation. I said that before there was any facts about it. You could smell it. I'll tell you why. I saw Michael Moore on TV. This was a month or two ago. And he was the first guy I saw talking about this. And I knew the moment I saw Michael Moore even talking about this shit that it was going to be staged. Michael Moore is a complete phony. The guy staged, admittedly, staged tons of shit in his movies and stuff where he was going into, you know, the big multinational corporations and rah, rah, blah, and getting thrown out. He admitted that all of that was staged. Staged for the camera. They set it all up. But people bought it and people believed it. Bowling for Columbine, a bunch of that stuff in there was admittedly staged. So as soon as I heard that, I knew this stuff was not something that was happening from the grassroots level, but yet purporting to be, but yet coming from the intelligentsia and coming from the mainstream itself. But what we're seeing here is people that, you know, are seeing that and they don't want to ignore the research, but then this other part of them says, well, but I also want to get out there and do something. You know, I don't just want to sit behind the computer and research this stuff all the time or talk about it on the radio. You know, I want to get out there and be a part of it. I want to be out there and get a piece of this. And, you know, I hate, and I know it's conflicting, and I hate to have to be the one to tell you that's exactly what they want. They're trying to draw us out. They're trying to draw all of you out. And, you know, that's why I'm glad that there are those people out there who will go out to these things. And I think it does serve a purpose. And I think that you know, it's everybody has a role. And those people that do go out to the protests, I have nothing bad to say about them or you or any, you know, if you guys go out and participate in this, I'm not going to, you know, I think you should, but I think everybody also needs to know their role. I think there should be those people that go out and do that. And I think everybody should do it at some period of time. If you've never gone out and participated in a street event or a street action or some guy, I mean, I've done some, I mean, that's, you know, that was what led me to here to doing the radio show, which led me to doing films and now, you know, leading into more things. But that was the whole thing is after being in the streets for 2 or 3 years, four years, nonstop doing street actions all the time, you know, I just felt like in a street action, you're reaching, you know, a small amount of people in a small amount of time because there's not street actions every day and, you know, they're only at certain times of the year. And I felt that there needed to be a way to be able to get information out very quickly on a day-to-day basis, you know, as it's coming out and to basically document every single day the course of events and the things that transpire and also to document, you know, my research and my awakening and all this stuff. But, you know, yeah, I think everybody should go participate in these things at some point, but I think that we also need people that don't jump and run at the first call of revolution. The people who don't, you know, lock and load when the first mortar round goes off. It takes discipline and it takes focus. Because again, that natural reaction is, I want to jump the fuck in this shit. Believe me, I mean, I know there's going to come a day when I'm going to have to heed my own words that I'm saying right now when it comes to that, because I know just the way I am, I'm one of those, believe me, I am definitely one of those people where I think the shit's going down, man. I'm fucking, let's go, you know, fuck, let's lock and fucking load. What do we get? Let's fucking go, you know? And that is, we have to be so careful of that, because that's what they want. It's obvious that's what they want. They've been programming us with this stuff, ladies and gentlemen, through television shows and movies and everything for a very long time. And, you know, I mean, God, Red Dawn, you know, that's just one example. But you know, we've had all these recent TV shows where, you know, or in movies, people are, you know, regular everyday citizens fighting for their lives against an outside threat. You know, it's a common theme. It's been going on for a very long time. And that's exactly what they want. They want to draw us out. They want to get us to react emotionally so that we don't react rationally. And I think we all have to really understand the dynamic between emotional thinking and rational thinking, and how you are able to tell the two apart in times of high stress, in times of, for lack of a better word, the shit going down. And, you know, I think we have a lot of people that talk about preparing for, you know, getting storable foods and your bug out bunker and weapons and ammo and all this stuff together, and all that stuff's important, but I think very little focus is put on the mental preparations and preparing yourself to, you know, how you're going to rule over your emotions and not let your emotions overrun your rational thinking. Because your rational thinking is going to keep you alive, your emotional thinking is going to get you killed. And again, programming, belief systems, all this stuff, we always think we're supposed to be the emotional thing. You know, it's that hero programming, you know. You don't have to be a hero, just stay alive. Boy, I just came right out of the gates with it tonight. Well, thanks for tuning in and being here with us tonight. My website where this broadcast originates from, www.theglobalreality.com. That's www.theglobalreality.com. And if you want to send an email to me at any time, I can read it on the air. You got a comment, you have a question, you have a topic, anything else like that, please send it in. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. I'll be happy to read that for you on the air. Chat room is also there at TheGlobalReality.com. We've got chatters in there hanging out tonight. So thanks to everybody for being in there with us this evening. Oh, and also thanks to the person who told me to check out the refurbished Max. MJ, I think it was, it told me about that. Yeah, I appreciate that. I was looking at those. You're right. I've been trying to get up enough funds to be able to get one. I know, and we said, had a listener said he might be able to help us too, but I was looking at some of the refurb stuff, man. I'm a lot closer now. I think with, you know, you got to get a warranty and all that stuff and RAM upgrades, but yeah, I'm a lot closer. I think I'm like $500 away or something now, so that's a lot better than being $1,800 away like I was before. So thanks to that person who gave me the heads up on that. I've found some pretty good deals. Look at that. I just didn't even think about that this time. I've got some pretty good success in the past. I got this Asus box that Lee Rogers got for me for the network about a year or so ago. We got it refurbished. It was cheap, dirt cheap. And boy, I hadn't had to touch this thing since I fucking installed Sam Broadcaster on it and put it up on the web and put it on the stream. Boom. It's just been rock solid for me since I got it. So the refurb stuff, yeah, definitely does work. Definitely is good to go. Let's see what we have in the mailbag here tonight. Oh, I had a message, an email from Scott King. Yeah, Scott wanted to know about, he wanted to know about if I'd heard of, well, let me see if I can find his email here. He says, I'd like your take on reverse speech. I'm sure you've probably talked about this before, but I've never heard you comment on it. I'm talking about reverse speech in the context of like how David John Oates approaches it. He talks about it in the context of people speaking their subconscious thoughts through reverse speech. He then gives you examples of what people said via recordings. I'm not talking about how maybe Led Zeppelin or ELO might have used speech reverse deliberately in recordings, but if you want to talk about that too, that's fine. Thanks, Scott from Portland. Well, that's a different thing. I know what you're talking about, Scott. I have talked about this. It's been a long, long time since I talked about it. I remember when I first started on air, I think 2007, 2008, somewhere in there. A lot of people that were around at that time, I guess in the chat room at that time, were talking about this stuff and were sending me some of these videos, and I did look at them and stuff. You know, man, I got to tell you, it's kind of like the, it's kind of similar to the stuff that, you know, people have said about bands and the backwards masking and all that stuff. It's just some of that stuff, I just don't hear it, man. Some of them I do. I mean, what was the one from Sergeant Pepper? You know, because it had those little cutout mustaches in there. And it's the Sergeant Pepper reprise at the end of side B, where it's like, Sergeant Pepper's lonely, Sergeant Pepper's lonely. And then, like, you play it backwards, and it's like, it was a fake mustache, it was a fake mustache, it was a fake mustache. I mean, you can hear that clearly. Clearly, that's what it's saying. And, of course, the fake mustache there, and there's a video of Paul around Fall around that time where, you know, he's got this phony-looking mustache on. Doesn't even look like him, but yeah, I know what you're talking about as far as being able to allegedly there are people that claim that you can reverse, like they've made videos of like Bush and Obama and stuff like that, and that when you reverse their speech, you can actually hear them saying things that, you know, like, you know, I want to eat your soul and take you to fucking Hades for eternity or some shit like that, you know. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, Scott, the stuff just seems real shaky to me. I mean, it just seems like it's open for so many interpretations. Like, they'll say it means, you'll hear them say it, and then they'll put on the screen or whatever that they're saying this particular sentence. But to me, I don't hear that. I hear something totally different than that. So, I don't know. Some of those things, I'd like to see, I think the jury's still out on that for me. I'd like to see more data. Like to see more concrete stuff, you know, because to me it just seems like the same thing with some of the backwards masking stuff. It just seems like they're reaching sometimes with their interpretations of what they're saying. You know, it's not that I don't believe it's possible. It's not that I don't believe it, you know, may be a real thing. It's just for me, I just don't hear it. I've got pretty good ears. They're tuned for music and producing and stuff like that. And it just seems like they're reaching sometimes with this stuff. So, you know, that's kind of my take on that, Scott. I hope it helps. Let's see what we have in. In the mail here. It's from Serge. Serge says, Josh, listening to your October 5th show, some of your comments reminded me of a Red Eye show that aired this week with John Lash. Lash spoke of transhumanism and parasitic creatures known as the Archons. The Archons, these are new to me. Have you heard of these Archeons or Archons or Archeons or Archons? Well, when you commented on telephones and chicks being on them until time immemorial, can you play George Thorogood's You Talk Too Much? That song is a hoot. I'd have to download it. I don't know if I can or not, but Yeah, I have heard of these Archeon things. If I understand it correctly, they're similar to John Dee talked about, what Tessarians talked about, the macrobes, the oversouls. That's about all I know. I don't know much more than that, but I believe that's what they are. They're some sort of parasitic creature, an etherical, energy type creature. I don't really know much more than that, but I'll just try to do some digging into it and see what I come up for you, Serge, and I'll talk about it here on the show. Well, I think that's pretty much all the email we have tonight. At least we didn't have a whole lot. Not a whole lot of material today. I kind of want to start the show again later tonight. Not a lot of stuff. Let's just slide over into the news then now. But if you've got an email and you want to get tonight, globalrealityshow@gmail.com, go ahead and send it over to me. All this stuff going on. World going to hell in a handbasket. All this protest, all these wars, genocide, nuclear reactors. I mean, death, death, death. It's good to know the fine people down in Florida. And you know who you are down there in Florida. We got a bunch of listeners in Florida. I am glad to know that the state of Florida has their fucking priorities straight. Florida lawmaker hopes to repeal dwarf-tossing prohibition. Boy, this is the pinnacle of modern human existence right here. I mean, this is a clear-cut sign that America needs to remain the forerunner of the world power structure. My goodness. Rome's burning. These motherfuckers are down here arguing over whether or not we should be able to toss midgets or not. Are you serious, right? You're not fucking with me here? This is real. This is a real fucking article. A Florida lawmaker has made headlines around the nation for his proposal to repeal a job-destroying regulation in his state, namely the 1989 ban on dwarf tossing. Well, I tell you what, I take the standpoint on this dwarf tossing the same way I take the standpoint on gay marriage. You just don't do it near me, don't do it near my family, don't do it near my kids. Keep it away from me, keep it behind the confines of your own home. And I'm just fine with that dwarf tossing, same as I'm just fine with the gays. And if those dwarfs want to be tossed, like everybody else, and by golly gracious goodness, we ought to let them be tossed. It's their right as Americans to be tossed.
Suck Satan's cock.
Yeah, I agree. Can we get one more of those, please?
Suck Satan's cock.
Thank you. A Florida lawmaker has made headlines around the nation. Republican State Representative Rich Workman introduced HB 4063 on Monday. The legislation would repeal provisions against the exploitation of persons with dwarfism. My goodness gracious, I am so fucking glad that the people in the state of Florida have their shit together. I'm so glad you guys are looking out for the welfare and the well-being of the citizens, because my God, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a state. No, I don't want to live in a country. No, I don't want to live in a world, a universe even, where dwarf tossing isn't allowed. In fact, we're going to have to take a commercial break so I can go find me a dwarf to toss right now. I don't give a fuck if it's 2 a.m. I know there's a dwarf around here somewhere. Which reminds me, you guys know that a couple of weeks ago, the Demi guys, we were on that local Deep Ellum internet radio show thing, video thing, and last year, I guess it was back in 2010, and we hadn't been a band very long. Demigods, we hadn't been together very long. My sister Jamie was sick, and she couldn't make the gig, so it was already booked. So Delphi and I were like, all right, well, fuck it. You know, we'll go play your songs. We'll go do, you know, we'll go be a two piece. And so we did. And we went to Fort Worth, and it was in this shitty little fucking, like, they called it a sports bar, but it was this shitty little place, dude. I mean, this place, it was looked like a fucking diver dive. I'm sorry, a biker dive, a diver bike, biker dive. Yeah, a biker dive. But it was just scummy, dude. I was like, oh, fuck, man. Are we really going to do this? So Delphi and I like walk in this place to like case this joint out, right? We walk in, and the first fucking thing we see when we walk in is a midget that looks exactly like Shirley Manson from Garbage. And I like looked around, looked over, saw the midget, and was like, cool, let's do this. I can get down with this. There's a midget that looks like Shirley Manson here. This can't be all too bad. Let's play. Come on, let's go. And we did, and it was great. But and then we saw that apparently that, and this was like a year and a half ago. I hadn't really thought of it since then. We kind of joke about it sometimes. But then we found out that the midget that looks like Shirley Manson from Garbage is actually in a band with her boyfriend. And they do like industrial goth shit. And they're actually pretty fucking badass. How weird is that? That's just fucking, oh man. That is just bizarre, but yes, I would like to, man, if I had an opportunity to toss a midget that looked like Shirley Manson, I would take it. Let's see what we have, what else we have besides dwarfs here in the in the news tonight. The wonder stuff that could change the world. Graphene is so strong, a sheet of it as thin as cling film could support an elephant. They're now starting to roll out the next generation of polymers and materials and game-changing technology stuff. And this ties right into, you know, exteriors and bodies and support stuff for transhumanism. No question. The stuff is tougher than diamond, but it stretches like rubber. It is virtually invisible, conducts electricity and heat better than any copper wire, and weighs next to nothing. Meet graphene, an astonishing new material which could revolutionize almost every part of our lives. Some researchers claim it's the most important substance to be created since the first synthetic plastic more than 100 years ago. If it leads up to its promise, it could lead to mobile phones that you roll up and put behind your ear, high-definition televisions as thin as wallpaper, and bendy electronic newspapers that readers could fold away into a tiny square. It could transform medicine and replace silicon as the raw material used to make computer chips. So, wow. Graphene. Pretty interesting stuff there. Holy shit, I looked down, Diamond's talking about midget bars in New Orleans. They got a midget bar in New Orleans? That's rad. A little door and everything? That's fucking dope. Oh, man. That's New Orleans in me, of course. Another satellite to crash land soon. You guys hear about this? The odds of it hitting someone are even higher this time. Well, that's just great. Always good news from the Never a Straight Answer agency over there at NASA. The world was gripped by NASA's UARS satellite that fell back to Earth last Saturday. Now there's been another. Now there's another that's plummeting back from orbit. In late October or early November, a Germany astronomy satellite called ROSAT will plunge uncontrolled back to Earth. While slightly smaller than UARS, the German satellite is expected to have more pieces survive re-entry. The German Space Agency admitted that it has a 1 in 2,000 chance of hitting someone, higher than the 1 in 3,200 odds NASA gave UARS. The German ROSAT satellite was launched in 1990, died in 1998, and weighs 2.5 tons. The German Space Agency estimates that 30 pieces weighing less than 2 tons will survive re-entry. Debris may include sharp mirror shards. So falling glass is going to come down. Hot, flaming glass is going to fall from space. That's just good stuff. Wow. Thanks for the heads. They don't seem to be too concerned about it, which tells me we probably should be concerned. You know, they were telling us, oh, this could hit somebody, this could fall on somebody. And you're like, eh, if there is really a chance it was going to hit somebody or fall on somebody, they sure as fuck wouldn't tell us. That's just the way that goes. Lots of crazy science and technology news. There's just more and more of this stuff coming out. And you know, after reading the Lost Book of Enki and after going through all these different Sumerian tablets and actually looking at, you know, as I mentioned last week, the scholarly interpretations of, you know, these ancient Sumerian texts and stuff, and finding that they're very similar, very few discrepancies between the, you know, quote unquote, official scholarly interpretations and, say, Zachariah Sitchin or anybody else. But it's funny how, since we've read all that, I just see this stuff everywhere. References of this stuff, you know, references to the, you know, creation and all these things. Like this one, for instance, ocean-like ice in space scan shows that Earth-lit life-giving oceans might have ridden to Earth in a comet's tail. Now, that to me, it sounds, you know, very similar to this stuff, you know, that we heard about in the Sumerian text, in the waters above the firmament, Tiamat being destroyed, and the pieces blasting out and creating the asteroid belt, and all the water coming crashing to Earth. Or could it have been that? What's interesting? I don't know if anybody else but me thinks this. But I'm going to drop a picture of this comet into the chat room. And I don't know about you, but look at this thing. That looks like a fucking ship to me. And there's been in some of these, you know, in some of these movies, I think even like Star Wars and some of the different movies, we've seen ships that look like that. I know Robotech, the anime series. Brilliant bright light coming from the front, from the back, from the bottom. It looks like engines. That looks like a ship. And it says it's 1.25 miles long. That's just unbelievable that that's a comet. It's a crazy fucking picture. That just looks like a ship to me, man. I'm sorry. I usually don't say that kind of, I usually don't say those kind of things, you know. Everybody's always trying to make everything out to be, you know, related to aliens or something. But that... That just struck me as odd. I've never seen a picture quite like that. I mean, it just looks like a ship. I read a lot of depictions of, you know, ships have looked like, and it kind of looks like a flying version of that thing that the Jawas rode around in. Today, most of Earth's surface is covered in water, but scientists believe Earth's oceans didn't form until around 8 million years after the planet itself. Well, that's supported by ancient texts. That's crazy. The discovery of ocean-like water on a comet by the Hi-Fi instrument on the Herschel Space Observatory hints that Earth's oceans might have arrived in the form of comet ice. If so, the impacts, and we'd have needed quite a few, would have formed an important stage in the evolution of life on Earth. Life would not exist on Earth without liquid water, and so the question of how and when the oceans got here is a fundamental one, said University of Massachusetts astronomy professor Ted Berggren. It's a big puzzle, and these new findings are an important piece. Previous scans of comets led astronomers to believe that the very icy bodies could not have brought water to Earth, or at least were only responsible for a very small fraction of it. Hi-Fi, the heterodyne instrument for the infrared on the Herschel Space Observatory, detected a familiar ocean-like composition to the water on the comet Hartley 2. A comet that had been visited at an ocean distance of 700 kilometers by NASA's Deep Space Impact spacecraft. By ocean-like, of course, the astronomers don't mean that it is green and swimming with fish. Hartley 2 is a frozen solid in the cold of deep space. The comet is composed of chunks of water ice and frozen carbon dioxide. Using measurements from the infrared telescope, the researchers found that the ice on a comet called Hartley 2, has similar chemical compositions to our oceans. Judging by the mix of the normal hydrogen atoms and deuterium atoms, one of the chemical isotopes found in heavy water. It is the first time ocean-like water has been detected in a comet, and we're all surprised. HiFi has previously scanned six other comets, but none had Earth-like water. The astronomers hypothesized that Hartley 2 formed nearer Earth than the other six in our solar system's Kuiper belt, and the different asteroids formed 5,000 times further away in the distant Oort cloud. The scans of other comets led astronomers to speculate that comets could not have been the source of Earth's water. So that's interesting stuff there as well. Lots of these science-related stuff, you know, it just everybody's obsessed with the sun right now and the moon. Everybody's obsessed with all these new planets they're allegedly finding. I mean, it just seems that they're building a backstory. Well, we, you know, we've communicated with these aliens because of this, blah, blah, blah. We've, you know, this new program we've been doing. Europe plots mission to the sun. That's interesting. Europe's collective space agency is planning an ambitious space mission that would send a satellite nearly three quarters of the way to the sun. The solar orbiter, which would launch in 2017, would operate just 25 million miles from the sun, far closer than any spacecraft ever sent from Earth. The mission was green-lighted by the European Space Agency member states on Tuesday, according to the BBC. I'm really looking forward to this solar orbiter, which will become the reference for solar physics in the years to come. NASA will assist in the mission, providing instruments for the probe and the rocket that will propel it towards our star, which is about 93 million miles away from Earth. Lots of interest in stuff there. Here's another one. How are universes connected? The huge cosmic filaments that link the Milky Way with other galaxies. Astronomers have exposed new proof that enhances the belief of interconnection between the planets and galaxies in the solar system. Dr. Stephen Keller of the Research School of Astronomy and Astrophysics at the Australian National University revealed the intricate details of the findings that connect the entire universe. He said, by examining the positions of ancient groupings of stars called globular clusters, we found that the clusters form a narrow plane around the Milky Way rather than being scattered across the sky. Furthermore, the Milky Way's entourage of small satellites are seen to inhabit the same plane. What we have discovered is evidence for the cosmic thread that connects us to the vast expanse of the universe. Oh my God, science has finally proven that everything and anything in our material reality is connected and interconnected to each other. Jesus Christ, stop the presses. Now, we've never known that before. Ancient people sure as fuck didn't know that thousands of years ago. My God. And still they're too afraid to say it. I mean, the headline of this article should be, you know, scientific proof that everything in the known universe is interconnected together. We are all one, truly. Instead, it's how our universe is connected. The huge cosmic filaments that link the Milky Way with other galaxies. Boy, that sounds boring as shit to me. I mean, which one is going to get more of a reaction out of people? Hey, honey, I read the paper, and the paper said that there's huge filaments that link our Milky Way with other galaxies out there. Ah, that's great, honey. Turn on fucking Desperate Housewives, please. Or, Jesus Christ, there's scientific proof we're all connected to everything. If we're all interconnected, and we're all one, and we're all the same, then why the fuck are we killing each other? I don't know. This doesn't make sense. It's got to stop right now. Game over. But no, instead we give this, I mean, that's what they're saying here. This is a direct quote. What we have discovered is evidence for the cosmic thread that connects us to the vast expanse of the universe. Everything is connected. Furthermore, the Milky Way's entourage of small satellites are seen to inhabit the same plane. The filament of star clusters and small galaxies around the Milky Way is like the umbilical cord that fed our galaxy during its youth. Dr. Keller's study enforces the view that the structure of the cosmos is made up of long filaments of galaxies and vast voids that span millions of light years. Globular clusters are systems of hundreds of thousands of ancient stars tightly packed in a ball. In our picture, most of these star clusters are the central cores of small galaxies that have been drawn along the filament by gravity. And I'll drop that picture so you can see this interconnectedness and see this filament. I mean, it's an amazing picture. You can see It's all interconnected. That's a microcosm. Yes, everything is interconnected. Everything connects together. There is no separation. But it's very difficult to rule over people who know that to be 100% true without having to be told or taught it. And sadly, that's the point we've reached. Lots of stuff here tonight. Let's see what else we have. Well, more of this in the news. Department of Pre-Crime, Santa Cruz Police test software that predicts where and when criminals will strike. I mean, I've covered stories like this one 100 times here since I've been on air. I don't know how many more times I've got to say Philip K. Dick was right. He's rolling over in his grave. He knew all this shit was coming. And yeah, it's here now. Pre-crime is here. Department of Pre-Crime, Santa Cruz Police. Here's another one that kind of ties in what we were talking about earlier with that comet thing. And, you know, after reading all these Sumerian texts and tablets, I mean, again, you just start to see little things in these news stories now that I you know, you really didn't see before. Here's another example of that. A peek into the chemical soup of life. Last universal common ancestor was more sophisticated than we thought, say biologists. Oh, really? So our last common ancestor that humans are derived from was actually way more sophisticated than we thought. Oh, well, that's, yeah. Could have told you that, buddy. 5,000-year-old Clay Tablets could have told you that. The chemical soup out of which all life eventually evolved could have been more complex than was first thought, according to a new study. The last universal common ancestor, Luca, is the name given to a crude organism that is now traceable in all domains of life, plants, animals, fungi, algae, etc. Very little is actually known about this great grandfather of evolution. And some scientists still debate whether it was even a cell. But a new study has suggested that Luca was a more sophisticated organism than presumed, with a complex structure that makes it identifiable as a cell. The research, published in a journal, Biology Direct, builds on several years of study of a previously overlooked feature of microbial cells. This particular area has a high concentration of polyphosphate, a type of energy currency in cells. The new research argues that this polyphosphate storage site actually represents the first known universal organelle. An organelle is a specialized unit in each cell that carries out a specific function, just as an organ does for the human body. Organelles were not thought to be common in the three branches of the tree of life, bacteria, archaea, and eukaryotes. How do you say that word? Eukaryotes? That is a weird, I don't think I've ever heard that word. Eukaryotes? Bacteria, archaea, and eukaryotes. E-U-K-A-Y-O-T-E-S. Eukaryotes. Okay, eukaryotes. That's a terrible word. And common scientific consent said they were never found in bacteria. However, in 2003 study, the same team from the University of Illinois showed that the polyphosphate storage structure in bacteria was physically, chemically, and functionally the same as an organelle called an acetylcalcium, which is found in many single-cell eukaryotes. Oh, I hate that word. So what's the point here? This is just a bunch of gibberish. Point is that we came from something more sophisticated than we thought. What more do you need to know, right? Florida County nixes fluoridated water after heated debate. A Florida county has voted to stop adding fluoride to its drinking water after a polarizing debate that included warnings of reduced intelligence, cancer, Soviet-style tactics, and forced medicating by the government. The Pinellas County Commission voted 4-3 to halt fluoridation to about 700,000 residents of the county, the St. Petersburg Times reports. The vote came despite pleas from dentists and health officials who said fluoride reduces dental illness. Is that what they're calling it now? Dental illness? So it rhymes with mental illness. Oh, you're going to get dental illness. What? Since when have they ever called it dental illness? Oh, make sure you get that fluoride in you, sonny, or you're going to get that dental illness. What the fuck?
If you don't believe in dental illness, you might have mental illness.
What in the Christ Green Acres is this shit? Dental illness. Never heard it referred to as that.
But, hey, you know, they got the job done. They got the fluoride out. It's all that matters.
You know, the whole deal with 2012 that gets overlooked a lot oftentimes is something the Freemasons have known for thousands of years. And that is this galactic alignment. And during galactic alignment, it said that the Milky Way, when looked at flat from, you know, the other side of the universe or the other side of the galaxy, looks like, you know, it looks like basically it looks like the snake. It's the serpent. And that always struck me as, you know, very interesting, the serpent symbology and how we see that with the elite. And we see that in, you know, ancient artifacts and temples and, you know, Sumerians, Egyptians, Mesoamericans, doesn't matter. And then always kind of, you know, stay with me, the whole thing about how the Milky Way looks that way during galactic alignment. But the first scan of space between the stars, the Milky Way looks like a writhing nest of vipers. And it's just, it's totally insane. It's basically gas where the magnetic field is dense. But that's what the Milky Way is made up of, but it does. It looks like a big thing of fucking snakes. It's very spooky looking, especially with all the serpent symbology with, you know, extraterrestrials, all this stuff. The Greeks and Romans looked at the skies and saw animals and gods, but the first picture of the gas between the stars in our own galaxy looks more like a pit of writhing snakes. To most people, the idea that space could be filled with thin, churning gas is distinctly odd, but astronomers have been trying to photograph the turbulent gas for 30 years. This is the first time anyone has been able to make a picture of this, said Professor Brian Gaslinger of the University of Sydney in Australia. The turbulence makes the universe magnetic, helps stars form, and spreads the heat from supernova explosions throughout the galaxy, said the study. I just find it very coincidental. I think there's definitely something to that. You know, I mean, we have very little knowledge about what that is. I mean, this could be entities or, you know, spiritual energy. We just have no idea. We think we know everything, but we know very little. I just got the space pictures for you guys tonight, man. I don't know what's going on with this. I don't know what's up with these articles. There's a lot of this. Somebody was saying that one of the pictures in there I put said copyright and new on it at the bottom. Oh, yeah, the one that was the interconnected universe. Yeah, well, look at this one. This is the picture from my next article here. My next article is supernova that lit up the skies for a whole month 1,000 years ago, still puzzling astronomers. And, I mean, this thing looks, I don't know what to think about this, but it's funny to me, at the bottom of it, it says the photographer or the person credited with the picture, it says David Aguilar, CIA, NASA. So I guess they're just openly admitting now that, you know, the CIA is doing their artwork, or the CIA is providing them with the picture for the media outlets now. I mean, that's a hell of an admission. First time I've seen them admit to that. Did that picture drop in the chat room, or did it fart? I hate when that happens. God, this computer's fucking so slow now. On its last leg. Takes 30 minutes to refresh a page. 1,000 years ago, a brilliant beacon of light blazed in the sky, shining brightly enough to be seen even in the daytime for almost a month. Native American and Chinese observers recorded the eye-catching event. What they were witnessing was an exploding star which left behind a gaseous remnant known as the Crab Nebula. Ran the same pick as before, huh? Bastards. There we go. There's the fixed one. The same object that Skygazers in 1054 CE continues to fascinate astronomers today by pumping out radiation at higher energies than anyone expected. Researchers have detected pulses of gamma rays with energies exceeding 100 billion electron volts. This thing's alive. That's why. It's not some dead star supernova. This is whatever this thing is, it's very much alive. Gamma rays with energies exceeding 100 billion electron volts, a million times more energetic than medical X-rays, and 100 billion times more than visible light. If you asked theorists a year ago whether we would see gamma ray pulses this energetic, almost all of them would have said no. Martin Schrodler of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, it was the CFA, not the CIA, okay. The Center for Astrophysics, CFA, I saw that wrong, my bad. Yeah, I thought that was a bit odd. It was like, that'd be a first time I've ever seen them just say, give credit to the CIA for some picture. That's odd. Okay. The Center for Astrophysics. All right. CFA. I stand corrected. There's just no theory that can account for what we found. The gamma rays come from an extreme object at the Crab Nebula's center known as a pulsar. A pulsar is a spinning neutron star, the collapsed core of a massive star. Although only a few miles across, a neutron star is so dense that it weighs more than the sun. Rotating about 30 times a second, the Crab pulsar generates beams of radiation from its spinning magnetic field. The beams sweep around like a lighthouse beacon because they're not aligned with the star's rotation axis. So, although beams are steady, they're directed on Earth as rapid pulses of radiation. The discovery was reported in an international team of scientists in a paper in October 7th issue of Science. Corresponding author Nepomuk Ate, a postdoctoral researcher at the University of California, Santa Cruz, said that some researchers had told him that he was crazy to even look for pulsar emission in this energy realm. It turns out being persistent and stubborn helps. These results are put new constraints on the mechanism for how the gamma ray emission is generated. I don't think people want to talk about this for a very long time because there's bombarding us with particles and radiation. I mean, where is this Crab Nebula located? Is it located anywhere near Cygnus? Because, I mean, you know, they've found, we watched that film, The Cygnus Mystery, they talk about these particles being found deep in the Earth, and these particles that came from that area seem to have triggered some sort of massive evolution in human physiology and thinking and everything else. Does seem like there's something they're maybe trying to keep a lid on. Yeah, that's definitely one of the craziest space pics I've ever seen, too, dude. For sure. Well, we're going to take a break. That's all the news we're going to do for today. We're going to take a break, come back, we're going to get a tablet number 5 for you here tonight. Tablet number 5 of the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. So we hope you'll stick around and hang out with us here tonight. Hey, where'd that go? Oh, there it is. We'll take a break, come back, stay with us, folks. This is Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. We'll be right back.
mutation. It is the key to our evolution. It has enabled us to evolve from a single-celled organism into the dominant species on the planet. This process is slow, normally taking thousands and thousands of years. But every few hundred millennia, evolution leaps forward.
There are approximately about 66 trillion cells intricately divided in the human body. Beyond retinal overstanding, a genetic remnant. Partidos genetically developed geometrically, displayed from a divine intervention. We are the product of genetic manipulation, a biological duplication. They breed bred from transduplicating, multiplying, replicating organisms, performing the primary re-evolution engineering process while splicing and cloning the chromosomes from the microscopic chaotic universal collective archetype, lyrically modified and built by the Anunnaki Elohim. We are the microcosm of the macrocosm, personifying by both sound and electromagnetic energy. From mortality I become immortality. I am the link that was slaughtered between the gene of the chimpanzee, astralopithecus and homo sapien, a germinated seed transported and manufactured within the biomatrix of a dolphin, taken from Cyrus B to the laboratories of Shimpty, artificially inseminated within the divine genes of Baba Ninji. Upon my arrival in the celestial waters of Ki, one more from a sperm cell to a seed, the supreme being metamorphosizing and was taken from the Hormaphrodite breed, a species conceived out of antibodies of mitochondria, DNA and RNA seated inside the cytoplasma of sulfuric elixir within every symbiont. It is a cell implanted within the center core of the midichlorians. There beneath the primordial seeds of chaos lies the incarnation of an angelic being, the fifth element being consumed within the womb of an etheric old womb, oxidizing like the solid form of gold. My brain cells begin to implode from the submergence of symbiotic organic growth, from the resurrection of 7D and 6 trillion embryos, a fetus that evolved from ambrosia, crystallized from star sofa, recalibrated from the anepa, implanted inside protozuma, and from the smallest particle in the universe, he Rasulullah became the Aetherian, manifested from point one into point two throughout the periodical table of elements, throughout the periodical table of elements.
What are midichlorians?
Midichlorians are a microscopic life form that resides within all living cells.
They live inside me.
Inside your cells, yes. And we are symbionts with them.
Symbionts?
Life forms living together for mutual advantage. Without the midichlorians, life could not exist, and we would have no knowledge of the Force.
Registering as nothingness, yet existing as the assisting element which lies just beyond the etheric threshold at the abode, which gives each planet a radius to rotate properly around the sun. I've begun before weight, before shape, before space, before that meager place called the primordial state in which I had to incarnate and debate on whether to incarnate into a state of definition was my transition from density as intensity increased to reach for the soul, trying to uncoil the Kundalini without spatial orientation. The latent manifestation of existence omitted the creation of resistance. Within an instance, my sounds fell beyond the corpses, the tuning forks which transposes the dolphin walking as the Vulcan deity. On the evolutionary scale of the whale, I inhale the clone of harmonic overtone grown within vegetation as gestation began in the womb of that tomb. My nostrils begin to form as the storm rages at the seventh point of darkness. The flying saucers brought the carcass. The starship levitates but hesitates to bring forth the breath of life. The Zodakites unite to question my authority. My limbs begin to extend, so I bend each trying to reach within as I begin to drain the sun's hydrogen. And magnesium fills my lungs as my tongues begin to form. Out of a magnetic grid, the pyramid slid into my... My nose begin to expose tachyon energy. Order of the centipede, assembly of protein, wean me into and gold. Yet I am extinct, better known as the missing link.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now seeing the beginnings of another stage of human evolution.
The seeds of life are born in the depth of stars. Aging giants that explode into supernovas, blasting oxygen, carbon, and hydrogen atoms into the emptiness of space. Atoms critical for life. The gift of stardust.
Submerged in the water, separating the lands of
of the living and the dead. A man connects with the sun at high noon to break bread. A solar crown on the head spreads heat from the chest to the leg with a keg of ambrosia. Churning milky oceans, serving of almond stone soldiers. Molded from clay into seven cathedrals of dismay, where we pray to order Ab-K. Otic microscopic wattage that affects the mental optics of the cosmic man. Mahapurusha, fuchsia lotus petals settle in the dust after the rapture. Captured in the vortex, I'm a raw sword flex. The syntax of technology, recognize the black man's originality. The fallacies of the Pharisees, open by the kinetic key. The door to falsity swings open, groping in the dark. I see a slick dude who tried to trick you with information taken from the Hyksos. Across the Black Sea to Galilee, eventually becomes Judaism. The degree of Christism, the double fish religion, Piscesism. Division from the traditional pre-dynastic Egyptian magic. Havoc from torrential downpours, found moors. Sailing in the cardinal directions, reflections of a light source. The illuminated bright force, who gallops into the sunset despite the opposite force. Those trapped in the labyrinth will never know the significance of myth. Destined to be devoured by the Minotaur Sith.
Uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
All right, back here with you on the Global Reality. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight. Staying up late with us again for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. The website where this broadcast originates from, if you're listening on a YouTube video or archive somewhere else, TheGlobalReality.com. It's www.TheGlobalReality.com. And we're currently taking, we're accepting people that want to come on and be sponsors for the network and get some advertising going here. If you want to have a banner ad put up on your, on our page, drive some traffic into your business or your product or your whatever it may be. Please send us a message for that. And, you know, if you've got anything you want to advertise there, we can also work out a bigger package deal. If you want to spend more, we can do, talk about doing, you know, a live read. I can do a live read here during the show for you a couple times a show and, you know, do about a 1 minute live read for you as well as a banner ad, whatever you want to do. Send that there because we don't have any outside support, and we do it from our listenership only. But it's, you know, we need to try and balance that out a little bit. So we're going to see what we can do as far as that goes. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com is my email address if you want to send in stuff concerning advertising. Send that over there to me there. But please support our work. We have the chipping banner there for the month for the bills. And that goes to help our operating costs and the cost of everything it entails to do this. And then we have the donate button there for larger amounts. If you want to donate larger amounts for anything else, you can do that there as well. Please support our work so we can stay afloat, stay alive. We do that with the support of our listeners, you out there, the listening audience that keeps us going. And please donate today if you can. Thank you so much. Tablet 5, the Dweller of Unal. The Emerald Tablets of Thoth. Oft I dreamed of buried Atlantis, lost in the ages that have passed into night. Aeon on aeon, thou existed in beauty, a light shining through the darkness of night. Mighty in power, ruling the earth born, lord of the earth in Atlantis' day. King of the nations, master of wisdom, light through Suntal, keeper on the way, dwelt in his temple, the master of Unal, light of the earth in Atlantis's day. Master he from a cycle beyond us, living in bodies as one among men. That sounds like Ra in the movie Stargate. Roland Emmerich film, Kurt Russell, James Spader, remember that? That sounds exactly like the Ra character in that. He was, you know, they were in this fucking pyramid, a spaceship that was, they were aliens. They were in this spaceship that was a pyramid, and he incarnated in this, you know, kid and took over his body and then started setting himself up as a god. It's very interesting. Lots of little symbology and little things that relate to the Anunnaki and stuff in that movie. If you haven't seen it or watched it in a while, definitely do yourself a favor. You can get it dirt cheap, dude. I saw it on Blu-ray the other day at I think Target, where it was like $5 for Blu-ray of that movie. That's fucking dirt cheap. But yeah, definitely watch that. If you had, it's definitely one to watch. But that's what he's talking about here. He from a cycle beyond us, living in bodies as one among men. Just so he's just in, I mean, that's very interesting. He's just incarnating in bodies wherever he wants to. And then he's setting up shop and setting himself up as the Messiah and the Lord and all this other stuff. That's why we have so similarities between, you know, Quetzalcoatl and Viracocha and Enki and Onaz and, you know, all these different deities around the world. That's what it's, you know, this energy incarnating in different bodies for a short period of time, but being immortal and being able to choose, being conscious of the choice of where and how you're incarnating. That's another one of the main secrets of the secret societies, the Freemasons, Rosicrucians, etc. That's why the rose on the rose cross of the Rosicrucians, the rose is the soul, and the cross is the body. And that's what it represents, is the soul being crucified upon the body. That's what the Rosy Cross is. And that's what the Freemasons teach. It's immortality through being able to be consciously aware of when, where, how you incarnate, and very conscious of who you are, meaning that, you know, once you develop your and you find that in a lot of people. You know, once you develop and you come out of your childhood development, you're, you know, that ego and that personality is already formed as if it was formed before birth. Not as earthborn, he from beyond us, son of a cycle, advanced beyond men. Know ye, O man, that Horlet, the master, was never one with the children of men. Far in the past time, when Atlantis first grew as a power, appeared there one with the key of wisdom, showing the way of light to all. Showed he to all men the path of attainment, way of the light that flows among men. Mastering darkness, leading the man's soul upward to the heights that were one with the light. Divided the kingdoms he into sections. Well, that's what it talked about in the Lost Book of Enki, wasn't it? They divided it in sections and gave different ones the Anunnaki dominion over those domains of the earth. 10 were they, ruled by the children of men. Again, same things we saw in the Sumerian tablets. It's mind-blowing. Upon another built he a temple, built but not by the children of men. Out of the ether, called he its substance, molded and formed by the power of Yotlan, into the forms he built with his mind. So he's talking about manifesting, built this temple that he manifested out of the ether and built and constructed with his mind. You know, that would shut up a lot of these. I mean, they wouldn't even have an Ancient Aliens series if they knew that, would they? I mean, every goddamn episode of Ancient Aliens, you know, I watch that show for the comedy factor mostly, but just to see what they're talking about. But on and on and on they go on that fucking show about, you know, what, you know, David Hatcher Childers, what in the hell built these temples? And they go on and on and on. And he right here, And they, you know, they talk about this stuff, and I'm glad that they're talking about it, and it's on TV and blah, 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 blah. But again, it's just like everything else that's disinfo or misinfo. It's not what they talk about. It's what they don't talk about. And these guys never seem to bring in to the conversation the idea of the power of the spoken word. This goes all the way back to the oldest forms of Kabbalism. Manly P. Hall discusses this in The Secret Teachings of All Ages, the Kabbalistic creation of mankind, the Kabbalistic origins of humanity, the Kabbalistic origins of the universe, and how these words and frequencies when you use them, and when you learn these different chants and these incantations and these different spells, essentially, you can learn how to shape and form the ether and make material matter manifest before your very eyes and create things like temples and other things like that. And yet Ancient Aliens goes on and on and on every week. How did they build these temples? It had to be aliens. Well, great. It had to be aliens, but how were they doing it? Never any talk about frequency. That's what I believe all this stuff, how they built the pyramids, all these temples. It's all frequency. They didn't use all these, you know, Jews, slaves and all this shit to build the pyramids. Give me a fucking break. They use ancient magic and ancient spells that manipulate frequencies, manipulate the ether and the material matter. And a high-level magi, most likely a priest who's been trained by one of the gods themselves, and then that trickles down and passed down, and then that's how we had secret societies form. But that's no doubt the explanation for what science and even conspiracy theorists, you know, haven't seemed to be able to wrap their minds around yet. That's, you know, that to me is the justification of why we're reading this stuff, why I will continue to read this stuff. It's unbelievable. Let me read that one more time. Out of the ether called he its substance. He built a temple not by the children of men. He molded and formed the power of Ytolan. I don't even know what that means. I got to look that up. Ytolan. What is that? Let's find out. Well, that's interesting. The power of Ytolan, so it's pronounced Ytolan, was revealed to me during a spiritual hypnotherapy regression during which I experienced life in Atlantis. Ytolan refers to a sacred energy that allows thoughts to materialize. The fifth emerald tablet. This creative power materializes thoughts for beautiful, elegant living and supplies without depleting the environment. This is the way Atlantis was built. Oh, okay. In 2005, I started feeling dizzy for short spells. I'm reading this off just some website, you guys. The frequency of these lightheaded periods increased so much that I went to see a medical doctor, fearing that I would faint while driving. To my astonishment, I left the doctor's consultation room in a wheelchair, emergency assessment by a cardiologist, and rushed to the hospital where a stent was placed into my heart. Not anticipating a heart problem or emergency heart surgery, and almost leaving the physical plane came as a major shock. I really don't care about your story. This blah, 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 blah. You're not giving me anything about. So I guess Ytolan is basically, okay, that's what it is. So it's the creative power that materializes thoughts into beautiful, elegant living supplies without depleting the environment. Okay, that's good enough for me. That's all I need to know. I didn't need to know your whole fucking life story. Thanks. God. Fucking internets, man. Jesus. Just give me the fucking info. I don't want to hear your whole fucking, you know, goddamn story, tripping on acid and waking up to fucking find the beer who's cocking your ass. I don't need to know all that. Thanks. So he molded and formed by the power of Ytolan. Okay, so that's what he's talking about here. Basically, was exactly right. He's talking about bringing things manifest using the spoken word. You know, in the beginning, there was the word. Hello? Christians, you ever fucking maybe give a thought to what that really meant? No, because if you ever give a thought to what that means, that leads to the devil. That leads to the devil.
Shock, Satan's cock. It leads to the devil's cock. That's what it leads to, motherfucker.
Jesus. Out of control. Let's try to continue here. Fucking Satan and rednecks just keep interrupting us all the time. Where did we leave off here? Know ye, O man, the harlot, the master, was never one with the children of men. Out of the ether he called the substance and molded it by the power of Aetolon into the forms he built with his mind. Mile upon mile it covered the island. Space upon space it grew in its might. Black, yet not black, but dark like the space of time. Deep in its heart the essence of light. Swiftly the temple grew into being, molded in shape by the world of the dweller. Called from the formless into a form. Builded he then within it great chambers, filled them with forms called forth from the ether. This sounds like, it's funny that he's making this sound like this is, I mean, this, okay, I read some a news report from the Rockwall Success newspaper where two of these guys had went down into one of the subterranean chambers, I think underneath where the Rockwall, the old Rockwall courthouse is in downtown Rockwall. And there was this report where they found these two black marble pillars inside of this chamber that shone and shined like something from the Orient. Like black granite sparkling. And it's funny they reference that here. Black yet not black, but yet black by the dark of dark of space-time. You know, I mean, it's just, it seems interesting. In these different rooms that he built, well, that's what the rock wall has found to have been. They found within the perimeter of the wall itself, they found room after room of different chambers and temple rooms and all of this stuff. It's all been covered up. And one of the pictures I saw of Quetzalcoatl, supposedly what Aslan was when Quetzalcoatl created, which was Aslan means Atlantis, was that same exact type of structure. And of course, Quetzalcoatl and Thoth are supposed to be the same person, as well as Hermes Trismegistus, the thrice-born Thoth, Hermes Trismegistus, and Quetzalcoatl. Now, again, Quetzalcoatl was master of two things, crystal working and metallurgy, alchemy. Well, two things have been found that relate to that with the rock wall. Number one, crystals, geopolymer crystals, three different types of crystals that don't exist around this area, brought together and made into a polymer that seals and holds the rocks of the wall together. Number two, an alloy wheel, a small alloy wheel that was made of copper, aluminum, tin, four or five different metals. I held it in my hand, was embedded into the wall. And I just, with that report, I remember reading that report of them seeing these black pillars. It just kind of, you know, caught my attention there for a minute. I'll continue. But this is talking about, you know, building this, and I don't know why, flashes as he's talking about building this temple using, you know, etherical energy in the ether to create. I don't know why, just flashes of rock walls are coming in my head, like, this is connecting, you know, this is connected to this. I always try to follow those, you know, those little flashes when they come to you, you know, because, I mean, believe me, man, I used to ignore them, but now 99% of the time they're right. Swiftly the temple grew into being, molded and shaped by the word of the dweller, called from the formless into a form, builded he then within it great chambers, filled them with forms called forth from the ether, filled them with wisdom called forth from his mind. Formless was he within its temple, yet he was formed in the image of men. Dwelling among them, yet not of them, strange and far different was he of the children of men. Chose he then from among the people three who became his gateway. So he chose three people to incarnate into. Choose he the three from the highest to become his links with Atlantis. Messengers, they who carried his counsel to the kings of the children of men,